ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय बोलो ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, tonight, I'm going to say something about a very beautiful word. The word begins with the letter L and ends in E. What's the word?
Life.
Life?
Life?
What? Love. Very good. When I was 17 years old, in the summer of 1967, my favorite music group, the Beatles, they sang a song. It goes something like this. All you need is love.
No, I thought we were
going to
get an entire cover.
Huh?
I thought we were going to get an entire cover.
What did he say? No. I will change it to All you need is Krishna. Not today. I'm not going to sing the whole song today. Maybe. I have to be inspired. So I have always been intrigued by this concept of love. And I pursued it. I chased it, but I could never grasp it. I was very frustrated. But then I found Prabhupada's books, and Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada taught me what is real love. Now, basically, love means to render service. You can say, I love you, but that's just words. Love is something that you demonstrate. And Prabhupada writes that service, rendering service, is the most congenial form of intimacy. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, Krishna points out that as far as children, you are included in the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that children should worship superiors. And Prabhupada in the translation adds, like the father and mother. Now, I have been preaching to Indian community practically exclusively since 1994, as I was saying in a Bhagavatam class one of these days. Every weekend I'm in India because I'm in a different Indian person's home every weekend. There's no need for me to go to India because I'm in India every weekend. For the past, that's a long time, 94, almost 21, you're pretty smart. Are you good in math? Oh, you got help? Thank you. So I always tell whatever the children that come to the program, after the program, it's the custom in my programs, everybody comes up for blessings. The adults come up, the kids come up, everybody comes up for blessings. That's what I do. And I always tell the children, please, please, please obey your mother and father, because right now they are your best friend. And why are they your best friend? They are your best friend because they're parents. They only have your interest in mind. They're not like your friends that you may have. They, and you won't understand this until you become a parent. There's no way you can understand this until you are sitting in the shoes when you have your children. Believe it or not, you are also going to have children. I don't think any of you are taking sannyas, right? Yeah. So someday, you're also going to have children. And you're going to remember what I'm saying today. Up there? Yeah. So, your parents, why did they procreate you? They had you because they wanted to expand their happiness. It's the same principle. Why did Krishna manifest all the innumerable living entities? Sometimes that question is asked, why do we exist? The reason we exist is because Krishna wants to expand his happiness. And he does that by manifesting the living entities, you. Just as you are the son of your mother and father, this body, but you, the real you, you come from Krishna. And since you come from Krishna, you are part and parcel of Krishna. Love and affection for Krishna is natural. Just as Madhav, Haribol, Madhav, do you love your mother and father? They're your parents, right? They're pretty good to you, right? They take care of you. They clothe you. They feed you. Anything you want, pretty much they give you, yes? You're pretty spoiled. So, because they're your parents, you have natural affection for them. So, similarly, we, being part and parcel of Krishna, naturally there's going to be affection. And the proof of this was during Krishna's pastimes when Brahma stole the boys and the calves. You remember, did you read that in Krishna book? Brahma stole all the boys and calves. And so Krishna was in anxiety because he could not return to Vrindavan without the cowherd boys and calves. And he looked for them. He couldn't find them. So how can he go back to Vrindavan without the cowherd boys and calves? So what did Krishna do? He expanded himself. And the expansions looked exactly like each cowherd boy and calf, down to the exact detail, what they were wearing that day, how their hair was, every little detail. Is that difficult for Krishna to do?
No.
Why? Because he's Krishna. To be Krishna means you're what? God. Very good. Excellent. You didn't say that? Who said that? Oh, you said it. I thought you, well, it must have came through. Yes, because he's God. Is there anything Krishna cannot do?
No.
No. Sometimes another question is asked. So if Krishna is God, can he make a rock too heavy that he can't lift?
Well, it's a paradox. But, like, in Goloka Vrindavan, everything's growing. So, like, if he can create that, then, like, another second, he grows more.
You are a genius. But he likes that, huh? Very good. Don't get puffed up. Very good. That's exactly the answer. Yes. That's exactly how Prabhupada explained it. Yes. He can create a rock too heavy to lift, and then in the next second, he expands, he can lift the rock. Because he's inconceivably powerful. So for 1 year, the cowherd boys and calves were hidden by Brahma, but everybody in Vrindavan thought they had their original child and calf. But Balaram noticed on his birthday, because Balaram, the day that Brahma stole the cows and calves, was Balaram's birthday. Why? Because Balaram was not with Krishna and the cowherd boys on that day. He was back home getting ready for his birthday party. So he didn't know what was going on. But one day, almost after a year, one day, Balaram was with Krishna at the bottom of Govardhan Hill. And the cows were up top Govardhan Hill with the cowherd men. And at the bottom of the hill were the calves and the cowherd boys and Balaram and Krishna. And when the cows saw the calves, they ran down Govardhan Hill like this. And the cowherd men got very agitated because the cows were just running down. And when the cows came down Govardhan Hill, the cows started to lick the calves, which was very, very unusual. And the cowherd men were, by the time they got down the hill, they were agitated. But when the cowherd men saw their sons, they started to cry, started to smell their heads and embrace them. And Balaram was looking at this thinking, Krishna, this is very strange. Krishna, what's going on here, Krishna? I think you're up to something here. So Krishna explained to Balaram what had happened. Now, Shukadeva Goswami explains this phenomenon. Because Balaram saw that the parents and the cows had more affection for these than they did their real children. The display of affection that the cows had to these calves, Krishna's expansions, and these cowherd boys, because the mothers and the cows don't know any different. They think it's their child, right? It looks just like, so they don't know any different. But they're displaying more affection. So Shukadeva Goswami points out, this shows us that actually Krishna is the dear most lovable thing for everyone. Shukadeva and Prabhupada explained, why do we love the body? We love the body because the soul is there. When the soul leaves the body, you don't want that body anymore. Take care of that body. Right? But while the soul is in the body, it's beautiful. Once the soul leaves the body after some time, no more. So the body is dear because of the soul. And the soul is dear because of Krishna. So Shukadeva Goswami points out that actually Krishna is the supreme lovable object. And when I learned this and other things from Prabhupada's books, it made me feel so good and so happy. And it made me very satisfied. Because like I said, I was always looking for the ideal loving situation. But Prabhupada was teaching us, you're going to be frustrated if you're trying to seek out love in the material world. You're going to be frustrated. If you want real eternal love, repose it in Krishna. Then you will be completely satisfied. Now let's take another angle of vision. The night of the Rasa Dance. The night of the Rasa Dance, there are many episodes, different things. So, Krishna left the gopis, and who did he leave with? He left all the gopis, but went with somebody. Who did he go with? Radharani. And why did he leave Radharani? No, why did he leave her? He left with her, but then he left her. Yes. Same reason he left the gopis. Because the gopis were thinking, we're with Krishna. We are most fortunate. Krishna said, okay, bye. But then Radharani, she told Krishna, oh, Krishna, I'm too tired. You want to go any further, you'll have to carry me. So Krishna said, okay, jump on my back. And as Radharani started, Krishna disappeared. What opulence of Krishna does that demonstrate? Krishna has six opulences, right? Who said that? Excellent. Krishna is renounced. Even he's with gopis. The gopis are the most beautiful women in the whole universe. And of all the gopis, the most beautiful is? Right. There are descriptions. Even the exalted, beautiful ladies of the heavenly planets, they want to dress and be like Radharani because they know she is the most beautiful. But Krishna's renounced. He can leave just like that. So after Krishna left, he kept himself invisible, but he was watching what the gopis and Radharani were doing. And did they get angry? No. They kept what? What's that? They didn't keep calm. Yes, they were doing what? They were searching for Krishna. They were asking the trees. They were asking the animals. They asked Tulsi, where have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? So then they wound up, where did they end up someplace? On the Yamuna, bank of the Yamuna. And they set out their shawls, their chadars, and they did program. They started to sing Krishna's glories, and they have their hit song, Gopi Gita, the most elevated chapter in all 335 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Did you know that? Yes. How many cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam? Right. And there are 335 chapters. And this chapter is the topmost shiromani, crown jewel. So the gopis are crying out to Krishna, and invisibly Krishna is there and he's watching. So after some time, Krishna reappears. And he says to the gopis that, I was watching you, but I see your love and devotion for me is so much that I cannot repay you. Now, who knows that verse in Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter? Ye yatam mang prapajante. What is the meaning of that verse? Yes. As you surrender, I reciprocate. But what does Krishna tell the gopis? I can't. I cannot repay you. That means the love of the gopis is so great, Krishna is unable to repay. So in the gopis' Bhagavad Gita, that shloka is not there. Because Krishna himself said, I can't repay. He said, you'll just have to be satisfied with your exalted devotion. But in the course of that exchange, when Krishna first appeared back, when he reappeared, the gopis were a little bit angry. And they were controlling themselves. They were like, okay. But they were a little angry. So they asked Krishna a question. They asked Krishna, can you tell us who is the best kind of lover? So Krishna said, here are the different kinds. One kind is like a business person. I love you as you love me. Krishna says, that's not real love. I love you as much as you love me. Krishna says, that's not real love. That's more like a business. Then he said, there are people who love. They don't ask for anything. They love because it's their duty. It's their obligation. And whether or not they get reciprocation doesn't matter. And he actually used the example of parents, children. Krishna said that the parents love the children regardless. The parents are not thinking, what am I going to get out of this? They love their children only because either it's their duty or they just love their children. Am I right, parents? And that love never ends. As I know from my wife and my 40-year-old daughter. They call each other every day. She's still her little baby. So even when you grow up and have your family, your father and mother are going to still see you like you are today. Just like my father, rest his soul. Here I am, 60. This month I'll turn 65. When I saw him last year, he still thought of me as his little Nicky. That's just the way it is. You will always be, and you'll be the same way. Right? You'll be the same way. Mark my words. Trust me. So Krishna said that this love of the parents, and you have no idea how they have sacrificed for you when you were a little baby and you were sick. Your mommy stayed up night taking care of you. Daddy was probably... But mommy cannot sleep because her little Krishna baby is sick. Am I right? Right? Yes. You grew up drinking the milk from your mother. That was your first food, even Krishna. So your parents, they care about you more than anybody else does. So, children, I see some of them left. I guess they don't like my talk. but I'm glad at least you stayed. So, children, when they say that ugly word, no, it's because they love you, not because they hate you. I was the same way. I was just like you when my parents said no every day. There was never yes in my house. Never. No matter what it was, no. After a while, they just stopped asking because it was always no. So the idea is that when they say no, they're not saying no because they're mean or because they hate you. They're saying no because they love you. They care about you. And they don't want anything bad to happen to you. So try to remember that. Am I right, parents? Yes. Try to remember that. Be merciful to your parents and say, yes, mommy. Yes, daddy. Then Krishna went on to describe another kind. And Krishna said, there's another kind that doesn't require anybody's love. And he said, that class has two divisions. One class is called hard-hearted. That even though the parents give so much love and attention, they don't give anything in return. They're called Guru Druha. That no matter how much love and affection they get, there's no reciprocation. Even Krishna says, as you surrender, I reciprocate. So Krishna has love for the living entities. Krishna is not the kind of God that says, you do everything for me and go to hell. Is that what we read in? No. Our depiction of God is the best of all the religions. Because Krishna right there is saying, as you surrender, I reciprocate. What more do you want? As you surrender. In fact, Prabhupada used to say, you take one step to Krishna, how many does Krishna take to you? 10. That's pretty good. And Krishna takes big steps, not little baby steps. So the Guru Druha takes all kinds of benefits from the elders, from the parents, but shows no appreciation, no respect. Best example, Duryodhana. My favorite. Duryodhana is my example for everything bad. I hate Duryodhana. I wish Yudhisthira would have said to Bhima, go ahead, kill him. So many times in the Mahabharata, Bhima says, come on, let's stop this nonsense. I'll go right now and kill them all. And what does Yudhisthira say? Chill out, Bhima, chill out. It's like I read the Mahabharata. I said, how much, my God, after all the stuff that they did to them. And then you just said, no, don't do that. But finally in the end. But it took long enough, my God. How many like the Mahabharata? How many like Duryodhana? Good. Then you're devotees. Do you like Duryodhana? How many like Karna? You can like Karna because he's got some good things. He's got some bad things. He's like a complex character. But there are some things about Karna you can appreciate. How many like Yudhisthira? Arjuna? Bhima? Draupadi? Very good. Krishna? Jai? Very good. Then the last class, Krishna says, I fall into the last class, Atmaram, self-satisfied. Krishna says, actually, I don't require anybody's love. Why? I am self-realized. Krishna says, even Krishna told that one time to Rukmini, Do you remember the episode where Krishna is playing with Rukmini and he wants to get her angry? So he tells Rukmini, you know what? I think you should divorce me because I'm not a very nice guy. And I come from a questionable... Do you know that incident in the Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
Yes. And Rukmini can't believe what Krishna is saying. But at one point, Krishna says, I'm not into this family life. I like the sages and the saints who are into... I like self-realization. That's what I like. So Krishna was telling the gopis, I'm Atmaram, Aptakam, I'm self-satisfied. I don't need anybody's love. But then Krishna said also, but, again, that Bhagavad Gita verse, as you surrender to me, I reciprocate. So Krishna's cool. He doesn't need it, but if you approach him, he reciprocates. And he reciprocates so much that when you become a pure devotee, you have him. So become a pure devotee and you'll always have Krishna. Everybody chant.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Now there's one more thing now that, because I'm just getting text messages from Krishna right now, what to say next. That's why I had you chant, because I had to download the next series of text messages. So the next thing is, over the years, I have spoken at wedding engagements, I've spoken at weddings, and I always like to mention what is the ideal husband and wife relationship. When I had my fire sacrifice, my father came from New York to California and was one of the few times he was in a Krishna temple. And my father, when he was alive, he was a bit of a preacher himself. He was Catholic, but he would do some preaching. He would do some little Namahat Catholic programs. I remember that. So I knew if I asked him, he would say something. He would give a little speech at my wedding. So my father stood up and he said that, and it was a very nice thing he said. He said, love is not self-seeking. I think he quoted some song or something. But that, he actually hit it on the head. That the ideal husband and wife, the wife is thinking, how can I serve the husband? And the husband is thinking, how can I serve the wife? One-sided doesn't work. That doesn't work. So the ideal marriage is that each is looking out for the welfare of the other. So you children, you're young now, but someday, just remember, when you're choosing your life partner, don't go buy the sugar-coating candy, okay? Don't go, same girl, same way. Don't judge by, oh, he's buff. No, that's sugar coating. That goes away very quickly. I used to be very, very handsome. Look with me now, okay? It goes away real fast, okay? You want to look in the heart. Does this person care about me as a person? That's the most important thing. Does this person care about me, or are they selfish? It's only about them. what have you done for me lately, honey? No. You want to look for that person who has your interest at heart. And then you have to be the same way, that I care about this person. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Was that all right? You're happy? Shall we sing?
Yes.
We shall sing. How are you today, sir? You're happy, boss?
Yes.